Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday School Hour for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
Wow. All right, we're going to continue in our series, everyone. We are in the book of Daniel. Now, June 29th, 2016, Time Magazine, on their website, they had a time.com, they ran an article that was entitled, "Regular Christians Are No Longer Welcome in American Culture." Once again, regular Christians are no longer welcome in American culture. This was by the author Mary Eberstadt. And she was talking about the transitioning, shifting landscape of intolerance in our nation. And Eberstadt wrote, "This new vigorous secularism has catapulted mockery of Christianity and other forms of religious traditionalism into the mainstream and set a new low for what counts as civil criticism of people's most cherished beliefs. In some precincts, the faith of our fathers is controversial as never before. Some of the faithful have paid unexpected prices for their beliefs lately. The teacher in New Jersey suspended for giving a Bible to her student. The football coach in Washington placed on leave for saying a prayer on field at the end of a game. The fire chief in Atlanta fired for self-publishing a book defending Christian moral teaching. And the Marine court-martialed after pasting a Bible verse above her desk. These and others are examples of the new intolerance. Anti-Christian activists hurl smears like bigot, hater, at Americans who hold traditional beliefs about marriage and accuse anti-abortion Christians of waging a supposed war on women." Now, last week we began our series through the book of Daniel, and we began to look at the culture that they were experiencing. We found that these were individuals who had a long history of God, and this history with God, they had experienced miracles. They had experienced plagues in Egypt. God did these tremendous miracles and brought them out. They had a long journey and more encounters and more miracles with God. They settled in the promised land. And it didn't take very long, once settled in the promised land, that instead of embracing God's call to be there, to be His unique people, rather they decided to embrace the culture all around them. They began to take up practices of various types of heathen religions around. And this led to two things. First of all, it drew them away from God and thus the protection of His word. And finally, it led them into captivity. Now, the reason I share this is, in many ways, I kind of fear that parts of the church are in this same place. Too many people think that being a Christ follower is about not doing certain things. They focus on the thou shalt nots. Rather, they miss out on the real mark of being a Christ follower, which is not what you don't do, but it's what you do, which is to be more like Christ. For more information on that, please go on the website and go back to our series on the Ten Commandments. And we broke that out over the course of 10 weeks. Our focus should be, our prayer life should be, "Lord, make me more like Christ," not, "Please don't let me be more like the devil." It's an easy way. We should be yielding to the Holy Spirit's transformation. Now, Daniel, again, he lived in this time where Israel, the northern kingdom, had been conquered and dispersed by the Assyrians. And now Judah, now his people, had been conquered by the Babylonians. Daniel was taken into captivity in Babylon. And some interesting things happened to Daniel and his friends as they arrived in Babylon. And these are things that, oddly enough, any true Christ follower, I believe, is experiencing and will experience in our shifting culture. And so this morning, My intent is that we can glean some strategies from Daniel and from his friends, so that we don't just survive in a ungodly culture, but that we can actually thrive in the purpose that God has for us. So if you join me, let's look at the book of Daniel. If you open your Bible about halfway and then turn to the right a little bit, you'll come across the book of Daniel. If you don't know where that is, just look at the table of contents. The most important book of the Bible, table of contents. That's where you can find the other things, all right? So just kind of go there. If you do not have a Bible, take the one in the pew back and take it home with you as a gift from us. We would love you to have a Bible that you can write in. We would be happy to provide you with one. Bibles need to be written in. They need to be marked up. They need to be used. I know that maybe you have a wonderful, great Bible from great-great-grandma, and that's super great. I respect that. I'll give you one that you can tear up. How about that? Okay, so I encourage you to bring a Bible to church. If you have a Bible app, that's fine. You're on the honor system. Don't be playing Pong or texting about the preacher's hair or anything like that. But a lot of people use the Bible app. We recommend YouVersion. If you go on I feel like a commercial now, but either on Google Play or on the App Store, you can get YouVersion. That's a really nice thing. So let's look at Daniel chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. The king assigned them a daily portion. Now let me set it up again. They're in captivity and they've been brought away from Jerusalem. We talked about that last week. And here's what's happening to them. The king assigned them a daily portion of the food that the king ate and of the wine that he drank. And they were to be educated for 3 years. And at the end of that time, they were to stand before the king. Among these were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah of the tribe of Judah. And the chief of the eunuchs gave them names. Daniel, he called Belshazzar. Sounds like a burp, but it's not. Okay. And Hananiah, he called Shadrach. Mishael, he called Meshach. And Azariah, he called Abednego. We've all heard the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? You've all heard that in your Sunday school. Well, here's the interesting thing. Their Hebrew names had meanings. Their Hebrew names all had specific meanings that had to do with God. They had to do with Jehovah. They had to do with their God. In fact, if we look at Daniel, the name Daniel means God is my judge. The name Hananiah means the Lord shows grace. Mishael, none like God. Azariah, the Lord helps. So all of these names were significant. They all pointed to an attribute of God, something about the Almighty God. Isn't that an awesome thing? That's awesome. I love it when we kind of hear names and you begin to know what names mean. Well, this actually became offensive. You know that anything in your life that points to God can be offensive to somebody? I found it, recently in our culture, it's something that just kind of irks me is, we have our winter concerts instead of our Christmas concerts because we have to scrub our culture from any footprint of God. And that kind of gets a little irritating. Now, it's not so bad here in Pike County. I always joke that once you leave I-72, about every mile, you're going back about 10 years in time. And then you arrive in Piketucky and I can't whistle, but up, up, da, 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 da. And here we are in Mayberry, where it's not so bad. It isn't. I love how we still, have a lot more freedom than a lot of the larger cities where people just kind of lose it. You know, if you were ever to do a spiritual song, oh goodness gracious, the school board would be protested and it just gets over the top. You have individuals trying to do good things and make an impact in kids' lives, and they get persecuted. We see more and more instances of that in our society. Well, same is true here. These individuals, their Hebrew names were offensive to the Chaldean culture. Those in Babylon, they were offended at the mark of God. And so they renamed. Everybody say renamed. They renamed them. So look at what these new names meant. Belshazzar, it means the treasure or the secrets of the god Bel. So they're going from God is my judge to something about this god Bel. To Shadrach, which was sun god protect us. The sun god is the one who protects us. Meshach, that name means the one who belongs to the goddess Shishak. And Abednego means the servant of the god Nego. So these are all names that have to do with these Babylonian, these Chaldean gods. And immediately there is a transformation. Now, why is this interesting? This is interesting to me for several reasons. First of all, my first point is that we need to stand firm in who we are in Christ. And quite honestly, it doesn't matter what the world calls us. I want you to know, you are expect to be misunderstood. Expect to not be accepted by society. The world's perception of me should be less important to me than God's perspective. Okay, we need to worry more about what God says about us than worry about what the world says about us. And we learn a great lesson from Daniel here. Because Daniel, these things happened to him, and he didn't just freak out and getting some big raging debate and start a lawsuit. He didn't do that. He didn't go all crazy there. Daniel's method of operation points to a great understanding of who he was in God. And the same should be true in us, because the world may mislabel you. Has anybody here ever been mislabeled? Yeah? Has anybody ever been misunderstood? And in terms of your faith, let's talk about that. In terms of your faith. So I get in discussions regularly, and people ask me if I have a view that I believe in traditional marriage. I believe I have a Bible worldview. I have a biblical worldview. Thus, I believe, me personally, I believe that Scripture teaches, you know, about marriage and about human sexuality. And so but if I say that, I'm automatically labeled a homophobic, which I have friends from all different things. I'm not any person's judge. What I am called to do is to teach the Word of God. Now, to do that in love, to speak the truth and speak the truth in love. Here's the problem. Disagreement in our society has changed to persecution. And that's painful. That's a painful thing. Christians will be mislabeled. Okay? And it happens. We're called all kinds of things. I believe that the origin of life came from God. I don't believe that a couple amino acids rammed together and made the first protein, and after several billion years, life all of a sudden became sentient. I don't believe that. That's the same way of saying for me that I take a whole bunch of nuts and bolts and parts and some aluminum and some fiberglass and some different things, and I shake it up and I throw it up in the air and it lands as a Lamborghini. I'm not too far off. Okay? For some extra reading, look at Michael Behe on Irreducible Complexity. I'd be happy to give you some more information about that afterwards. That's a whole different subject on apologetics. I'll be happy to talk to you, some coffee talk. Let's have coffee and talk about those things. For me personally, I believe that life shows the signature of God, that there is a workman, that if we look at life, it has a design, and if it has a design, it had a designer. And that designer, that author and maker is God. And because I hold that belief, I have individuals who want to call me that I'm a science denier. I'm mislabeled all the time. The thing is, what is my response? And so really, what we find from Daniel is a great piece of advice that I'd like to give everybody here today. Are you ready? Are you ready? Here's the piece of advice. Don't be a jerk. I was going to call the sermon, "Don't be a jerk." But I didn't think that that would probably market quite as well. What we see in Daniel is he's not like, "How dare you?" No. He wouldn't have been killed for one thing. But what we see in Daniel is a remarkable character that is really not as concerned with what the world says or what a heathen culture says as much as he knows who he is in God. And because he knows who he is in God, his character, everybody say character, is godly. So don't lose your stuff when the world acts like the world. Instead of being a jerk, act more like Christ. You'll find that you'll build bridges rather than burn them. Okay? Because after all, there's only one person in the world who we should be pleasing, right? And that is my wife. No. Said that in first service. She didn't care for it, and she doesn't care for it today as well. No, that one is God. It's God. There's only one person. She's not like that, by the way. She's not like that. So we only want to be pleasing, I mean, within reason. We want to focus on pleasing God more than anyone else. Now, with Daniel, I understand it's not fun to be an outcast. Does anybody enjoy being an outcast? I'm not the guy who loves wearing the cardinal shirt in Chicago. It's not fun, right? It's not fun, right? It is fun? Are you that guy? The cardinal shirt's funny? Are you one of those? They're growing. Your ranks are growing. That's fine. You know what? That's all. I get it. We don't like to be the outcast. We don't like, it never feels good to be that guy. To be that one who just doesn't fit. To be the square peg in the round hole society. I get those things, guys. But the truth is, don't run away. Daniel never ran away from that. And he didn't go try to push for a fight. He stood in God with respect and character that let God handle his situations. I'm going to say that again. That let God handle his situations, which comes to my second point. Point two is this. Resolve to not defile yourself in the midst of compromise. Okay? Why do you say this? Now, those of you who say, I've heard Daniel preach my whole life, I've got a grip on this, I'm going to step out on a limb and say I'm probably going to share something that might mess with you, maybe you haven't thought of before. Because most times we think that here's Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they're surrounded by all this ungodliness. But let's look a little deeper into the text. Daniel 1:8 says, but Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. Now, who is Daniel surrounded with? Who is around Daniel at this time? We all think, oh, he's with a bunch of Babylonians. Hold your horses. No, he's not. Daniel's surrounded with a bunch of Hebrews from Jerusalem. We think that Daniel is here, and it's Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and then a large assortment of other pagan people. Not correct. Read the text. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were among the Hebrew kids who were brought over. There may have been some other cultures with them, but we darn sure know that there's a large group of them who were brought over from Jerusalem. These were his brothers. Here's my point, crew. There's a lot of Christians who don't act Christian. Let me roll that back. There's a lot of people who call themselves Christians who aren't. There's a lot of people in our society who will eat of the king's food because society says this is how you act. Who will drink of the king's wine because everyone else is doing it. There are a lot of people who should stand and aren't. And so we can say, it's the world, God protect me from the world, but the real struggle is all of us here in the room today. Well, my standard of living goes a little bit lower when I see how my brother and sister, you know, how are they, is it okay for me to do what I really want? Well, I see everyone else in the congregation doing it, so must be all right. Got real quiet in the room today. You see, Daniel is... I read this and just, because all this time I'm thinking, Daniel resisting this heathenistic culture, and yes, but Daniel is also being separated from people who ought not be acting like that and who should have known better. That's where the rubber hits the road. It's one thing to say, oh yeah, we all lose our stuff when the world acts like the world. We shouldn't. Shouldn't be a big shock. Oh. The problem is, we might ought to have had a little more issue with when we amongst ourselves don't hold the standard. This is why this series is so important for us today. Because it can be a very lonely and solitary place when God is calling you to stand and there are people around who should be standing who are not. So what do we do in these times? What do we do? Well, view purity as a yes rather than a no. View standing in God is not about trying to say no to the outside as much as God is inviting you into this place. And that's what got them in trouble to begin with. In the promised land, They rejected being God's uniquely. And they said, you know what? We want to be just like everything else. We're happy with the culture. In fact, we want to adopt the culture. Boy, I see that so much in the church today. I've lost track of how many people who I've walked with in the kingdom who took compromise, and then a little more compromise, and then a little more compromise. And I'm not saying that I'm perfect, and I'm not just as guilty as others from time to time, and that there's this influence. I have to constantly be on guard. I get it. What I am saying, gang, is we need to show a spotlight on it. Because this is a difficult, ongoing journey that takes daily choices, because we have daily opportunities to choose Christ or to adopt compromise. Here's the beautiful thing I see in Daniel. He resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food or with the wine that he drank. And here's how he did it. Let's go on to verse 8, the second half of verse 8. Therefore, he asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him not to defile himself. Wait a minute, that's not how we operate in 2018. We hire a lawyer and we sue him. We go start a blog and we shame him. We go passive-aggressive on them. We go tell everyone else about their business rather than go talk to the person directly. I love what we learned from Daniel. He didn't Snapchat it. He didn't Instagram it. He didn't do anything. He went and spoke with the person who he needed to speak with and bared his heart in integrity. And here's why I love that. Instead of trying to work all the pieces of the chess game himself, he did something very cool. He let God be God. I tell you, that's 2018. That's my personal area of growth. Quit trying to be God. Quit trying to move all the pieces and fix everything yourself. Walk in obedience and let God be God. Here's what he did. He asked the chief of the eunuchs to allow him not to defile himself. He put himself in that position. Look at verse 9. And God did what? God gave Daniel. Y'all need to read that a little different. And God gave Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the chief of the eunuchs. You know why we don't experience God's favor? Because we're jerks. I told you, we should have called the message, don't be a jerk. Seriously, let me read something to you. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Solomon's pretty wise person. In fact, no one on earth had wisdom like Solomon yet. And here's what Solomon says. My son, do not forget my teaching. He's talking to him about the Torah. But let your heart keep my commandments. He's speaking inspired here. For the length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. How will peace and life and years be added to you? By not forgetting the teachings of God and keeping His commandments. Go on. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, so that you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Translation, you want to curry God's favor? Don't be a jerk. Seriously. I think so many times we take matters into our own hands. We try to do God's business in our own character, and we impeach ourselves. God's character is a powerful, powerful thing. So Daniel is moving in this place, and thus, because he's operating this verse 9, God gave Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, look, I fear the Lord, the king, who assigned your food and your drink, for why should he see you were in worse condition than the youths who are of your own age? And why would you endanger my head with the king? Then Daniel said to the steward, whom the chief of the eunuchs had assigned over him, over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Test your servants for 10 days. Let us be given vegetables to eat and water to drink. And then let our appearance and the appearance of our youths with, let our appearance and the appearance of the youths who eat the king's food be observed by you, and deal with your servants according to what you see. So he listened to them and to these matter and tested them for 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, it was seen that they were better in appearance and fatter in flesh than all the youths who ate the king's food. So the steward took away their food and wine that they were to drink and gave them vegetables. Here's what Daniel did. He didn't try to manipulate the system. He didn't try to pull the old, "I'm sorry, officer, I was on my way to Bible study." He didn't try to play the game. He didn't try to twist it around. He didn't try to play that. He's in integrity. He went forward. He laid it out. He stood, and God gave him favor. So my final point is this, and it's for me. Don't infringe on God's job. Quit trying to be God. Quit trying to move all the pieces and manipulate the system. Now, the beautiful thing, when you walk in integrity, God opens the doors that God wants opened. Let me say that again. When you walk in integrity, when you show forth God's character, God opens the doors that God wants opened. And what I've recognized in my life is there are times that I quickly, this is how I process information. What do I think God's will be? Ha! Well, now I'll start working it to make it that, to make that happen. Why? Why do I do that? Because it's no different than the children of Israel. I don't like to rely on God because, after all, I'm awesome. Right? Thank you for laughing. Okay. Don't try to force open doors that you assume God would have opened to you. So as we mentioned earlier, how do we get this wonderful favor of God? Is godly character invites God's favor. We see this in Daniel's life. He's willing to put it to the test. He says, "Test your servants for 10 days. Be willing for God to use you guys how He sees fit." Are you willing to walk in that way? So we live in a culture, we live in a time where there is going to be more, I believe, there's going to be more and more pressure put upon us. Our response is easily, just don't be a jerk about it. Understand, the world's going to act like the world, but our call is to encourage one another. I think it breaks my heart. As I read this time, it's never broken my heart like it has broken my heart this year. To think about all those others that were with, these were probably Daniel's friends, Daniel's compadres, and yet we have these four standing. Huh. You know what? It's hard stuff, guys. It's hard stuff. I mean, this is a powerful thing that God is moving, and we don't know how many other individuals stood with Daniel, but we know that there is a big discrepancy here. We know that there's a lot of numbers because there was a comparison. So, guys, let's do our part. My final thought today is this. Am I willing to be part of God's plan other than the author? Am I willing to have God's plan in my life? Am I willing to be part of God's plan other than writing it? A lot of times we try to write our own script. We try to figure out how it comes, and then we get on board with it. We don't see that in Daniel. We see Daniel resting in his character and standing in integrity, and God doing some fantastic things. In the next few weeks, we're going to go a little bit deeper and find some great lessons. Amen? Listen.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary. Every Sunday morning there is Sunday school offer for all ages at 9:15. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.